This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
This podcast was recorded at 1 p.m. UK time, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in the US. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this.
And welcome to the U.S. Lens for Schroders North America and for the globe. I'm Ron Ansana, Senior Advisor to Schroders, as we kick off a new weekly segment to bring you perspective on global markets from a U.S. point of view. I am joined by John Mackay. He is the head of sales for Schroders Wealth Management in North America. And we're here to talk about the state of the financial markets as we kick off the final week in April. John, it's good to have you. Let me just start with what's going on today. A very wide divergence between a rally that we're seeing in equity markets here in the U.S. and around the world, and another huge drop in oil, down 22% into the low $13 range. Are we getting mixed messages from two key markets?
Yeah. Hey, Ron. Good to be here, and thanks for having me. So I think we're getting mixed messages pretty much all over the board. It's not just oil. Over the last couple of weeks, we've seen interest rates, the 10-year Treasury, for example, headed down close to the lows for the year, sort of a little bit above 60 basis points. You've also seen high yield spreads. High yield is comprised of a bigger percentage of energy companies in it, about 12-13% than the S&P 500 is. You've seen those high yield spreads actually widen. So I think there are parts of the markets out there, whether it's fixed income or the dollar actually has been rallying as well, that are telling you that there are still some serious issues we have to deal with. I think that's the understatement of the day. And it's sort of surprising to see the equity market holding up as well as it is.
Now, how much of the equity market enthusiasm, if you will, for maybe lack of a better description, given that it's been a two-day rally after a down week, is the response to global central banks, including the U.S. Federal Reserve, providing unprecedented amounts of liquidity, and the news that we've gotten over the last several days that countries like Italy, Spain, and some states in the U.S. are trying to reopen their economies?
Oh, I think that's a huge piece of it. We've never seen stimulus, in response to a crisis as quick as we have or as great as we have. And that is true not just in the U.S., but around the world, whether it's the ECB, European governments talking about, a European rescue mechanism. We might be getting closer to joint issuance of bonds than we've ever seen over there. As well as Bank of China, Bank of Japan, the Bank of England. It's been a pretty dramatic, oversized response to an oversized crisis. So I think that's a big piece of it. What worries me a little bit is the drawdown in equities in the U.S. and around the world was really quick, the quickest bear market we've ever seen. The recovery was also incredibly quick and fairly dramatic. And I think, unfortunately, we're going to go through the next couple of months with some really bad data. We all know that, but I'm not sure anyone knows for sure how bad it could be or how prolonged it's going to be. And the earnings outlook is extremely poor as well. So I think there's a little bit of a disconnect. I'm not suggesting by any means that we go below the lows we saw on March 23rd. We certainly could. But I struggle to see the market sort of staying in here despite all the support we're seeing from central banks as well as governments.
And the dispersion of returns has been pretty wide. In so far as with respect to the S&P 500, it's been the trillion-dollar club or the mega cap stocks that are up the most and now comprise 20% of the S&P 500. That's the most significant concentration of upward moving stocks that we've seen in two or maybe even three decades. How is the rest of the market faring when you look away from those big cap winners?
Yeah, that's a great point. So we tend to get caught up in the headline number. What is the S&P 500 doing? What is the FTSE 100? What is the MSCI EM doing? And you forget that it's made up of a bunch of different companies that come from different sectors. So to your point, In the S&P 500, 33%, one-third is made up of infotech and communication services. That is, all the FANG stocks are in those two sectors. And those two sectors, year-to-date, are actually only down about 2.9% and 8.8% respectively. And in the drawdown, they got hit like everyone else did, but they held up relatively better than both the index or some of the sectors that are more directly impacted by the coronavirus, such as financial services or consumer cyclical stocks, or obviously, as we talked about earlier on, energy or basic materials. So the dispersion in returns is pretty dramatic. The peak to trough decline of the S&P 500 was close to 34%. Communication services went down about 28%, while energy went down 55%. So it goes to show you that there are parts of the markets and obviously parts of the economy that are getting hit much harder than others, and that's showing up in those stock prices.
And John, we've got three events coming up this week. We've got the look at first quarter GDP. We've got a Fed meeting that concludes on Wednesday, and we have earnings, and not necessarily to focus on an individual company like Apple, but it is among some of the big names that we'll be reporting this week. If you could prioritize the three events that we have coming up, which do you think the market will focus on most?
I think the market will focus on most the central bank meetings. Like you said, you've got the Fed on Wednesday, you've got the ECB on Thursday. You do have some big data coming through this week as well. You've got US GDP from the first quarter, so this is the second revision to that estimate. So we still won't see second quarter GDP until another month or so from now. But I think the market will be paying attention to those two things, but I'm not sure how much you'll get out of it, right? The Fed has, been hitting the market intra-meeting with announcements around support for the corporate bond market, for the municipal market, for obviously the Treasury in the agency market, all these different programs that have rolled out. So I'm not sure how much they're going to be able to surprise to the upside on Wednesday this week. I've actually put my money in the ECB. They made a mistake last time by saying Christine Lagarde said she's not here to support corporate spreads. The market reacted very negatively to that. So I'd expect a more measured, a pre-thought out statement from them. The bar isn't as high as it's been set for the Fed. So I think where we should be paying attention, and the market doesn't always do what you think it should, but where the market should be paying attention is to earnings. Like you said, big week this week. You've got about 170 plus companies reporting, benchmark companies across just about every different sector. And it'll be really interesting to see, like we've seen already for some of the companies that are reported, what their outlook for the year is. What do they do with dividends? What do they do with share buybacks? I think all pretty much skewed to the downside, but that's going to tell you how things are going to play out over the remainder of this year, at least give you a little bit of a guide versus what the Fed reiterates on Wednesday. They're here to support the markets. They're here to provide stimulus as much as they can, do whatever it takes. We already know that, but I think that will be the headline the market will be focused on. I'm not sure it's the right one.
And John, before I let you go, with respect to that, first of all, which is the right headline to focus on? And second, with the market rebounding a bit here, is this the rally that is worth fading, given how quickly we've come back? And again, as you indicated, we still have a lot of bad economic and earnings news and potentially even coronavirus news in front of us. Should this return to work in the U.S. and certain European countries fail?
Yeah, I mean, look, if it fails, then the market should be down significantly on that headline. But even if it goes okay, and I think okay, I would define as a very phased in, very staged opening up of the economy that doesn't happen all at once. You get, Cuomo yesterday, New York State Governor Cuomo was talking about a stage one reopening that would only include manufacturing and construction workers. So just one little piece, and they would let that happen for about 2 weeks, see how that goes, and then potentially open it up even more. So there's light at the end of the tunnel on the opening front. But I think to your point, I would, based on where we are today in the market valuations, there is risk to the downside that things don't go according to plan or aren't skewed towards the more optimistic expectations people have for an opening up of the economy. But my view is that from a broad market perspective, there is a little bit of risk to the downside here based on the news flow we've got coming over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
All right, John, thanks very much. I've been speaking with John Mackay, who's head of sales for wealth management at Schroders North America. I'm Ron Insana. We'll be back to look at the world through a U.S. lens next week. Thanks for listening.
That was the US Lens, part of the Investor Download podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. It's available weekly on a Monday from wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to rate and review us. You can find out more at schroders.com/theinvestordownload, or you can get in touch with us, schroderspodcast@schroders.com. And above all, keep safe and go well.